Chapter 18, Teenagers. With black notebooks in hand, the two scientists stood at the southeast side of Paradise. "They are now teenagers," the professor remarked to Evan quietly. Classes were over for the day. In fact, the first semester was nearly over. Outside the biosphere, trees were bare. Snow was falling softly, and the sky was a gloomy gray. Evan and the professor had met to spend an hour observing the tinies. In his journal, which was nearly full, Evan entered 13 months at the top of a new page. He examined the orchards. "Productivity has been exceptional for most of the fruit and vegetables," he remarked quietly, jotting similar words in his book. "Yes," the professor replied. "Everything pollinated by the bees has been successful. I'm not sure what to do about the mangoes."
"They aren't pollinated by bees?" Evan asked.
"They can be, but a lesser long-nosed bat might do better. Only I hesitate to introduce bats. They aren't exactly cute," he smiled. "They might frighten the girls."
"Do you think we'd need many?"
"Chances are they won't be seen."
"It's not only that," the professor contemplated quietly, "but what would they eat?"
"We decided to avoid the annoying insects that are part of their food source."
"What about fireflies?"
"They have a foul taste, apparently."
"Bees?"
"No, I checked into it. Bees are active in the day and bats come out at night. Besides, we don't want bats eating all our bees."
"The mangoes are a valuable commodity."
With a wry smile, the professor whispered, "Ah, yes, and their scarcity led to an outbreak of selfishness." Googling what long-nosed bats eat, Evan scrolled through a few articles and smiled. "Looks like we would need to miniaturize some cactus and send in the fruit, but we can do that easily enough. Why don't we release two bats when the mango trees are in flower and see how they do?" The professor nodded and scribbled in his book, "Miniaturize two lesser long-nosed bats and cactus." "Building the road has gone well," Evan noted in his book. "There hasn't been any stealing or acts of aggression since the Beach Boys were assigned to work. Louis says they have occasionally been sick to their stomachs, which is unusual for them, but on the good days, they've worked hard." Standing close by, the professor read Evan's entry and then wrote his own. "I'm impressed by the quality of the road work. Kenzie is a good manager."
"Yes, he is," Evan whispered, comparing notes. "He and Damien have worked well together. I especially like the arch bridge. I know Louis helped them with ideas, but still, I'm impressed they chose to try something challenging."
"Oui, c'est fabuleux and well thought out. They've made good use of the flat rocks that we buried in the hill."
"Yes, once they figured out how to mix cement."
Suddenly the professor pointed to the road.
"Must be dinner time," he whispered. "Here comes Amy with the carry cart."
They both smiled, watching Amy as she followed the newly laid stone road, happily pushing the cart ahead of her and making up little songs along the way. From a distance, she waved merrily to the group of kids planting new seeds in the garden. Vanitha, Vahid, and Zahir waved back.
"She's such a happy one," the professor said proudly.
"Wait," Evan whispered, cocking his head toward the speaker. "Do you hear what she's singing?"
"Oh, that she loves everything?"
"She might be using a particular name."
"Really?
Listen." "I love the way you smile at me," Amy was singing very softly.
He strained to hear the next line, but Amy was not singing to be heard. However, there was no doubt she had a dreamy look.
"She might have a crush on Kenzie," Evan suggested quietly. "They've been working together for 2 weeks on this project."
"You haven't noticed any special interactions till now?"
"Not really. They seem like good friends and all, but I haven't noticed any special attraction," Evan relayed, noting down the incident. "However, I've certainly seen improvement in the Beach Boys. When they started this project, they were lazy and trying to cut corners and get everything done as fast as possible. Now they seem to have taken a real interest in making the road look good." "Louis said it was also their suggestion to build the retaining wall around the drop-off into Rainy River."
"Really?" The professor noted the fact in his journal.
"I like that retaining wall," he added in a low voice. "The rock colors are well balanced, and it should withstand a raging river," he chuckled softly.
"If we ever had to worry about raging rivers," Evan laughed, muffling the accidental noise he made with his arm.
The road workers looked around suddenly as though they had heard the laugh. The professor and Evan glanced uneasily at one another. The dinner bell rang. "Time to eat," Vahid called out, standing up in the garden. "Wash your hands, everyone," Zahir piped up, dashing toward the outhouse with the others following behind.
As they ran across the newly laid road right in front of Amy, Zaheer looked at all the food in her carry cart. He stopped. "Is that for the road workers again?" he asked. With a smile, Amy nodded. "They are working really hard," she said proudly. "What about the farmers?" he asked. Amy's face colored. She didn't have a ready answer. "But you always go to the store," she explained. "So could they." "I guess," she faltered. "Hey, who's holding up the food?" Damien called out. Zaheer shrugged and ran off to wash his hands. The professor and Evan exchanged glances. "It's not really fair," Jax remarked quietly. "If she's going to take food to some, she really should do it for all." Evan agreed and whispered, "Amy started bringing just orange juice and snacks. It's grown from there." "I suppose." Seeing that Amy had reached the road workers, the professor and Evan watched with smiles of approval as she reminded them to wash their hands. Grumbling just a little, the boys ran to the outhouse and quickly washed the dirt off their hands. "I see why they've been sick a few times," the professor remarked quietly to Evan. "They've been working in the dirt, which must still contain trace amounts of bacteria, even though we attempted to purge it out," he sighed. "And they don't recognize the importance of soap." "Do they wash at all without a reminder?" Evan questioned, raising his eyebrows. He picked up his phone. "I'll send Louis a message to give another lesson on the importance of washing with soap." Amy handed out the dinner. The hungry boys were very appreciative of the fresh bread, soup, and salads that Amy had helped Nancy prepare. "Best bread ever," Damien complimented her. "I bet you made it this time." "Look, she's blushing," Evan pointed out softly. Amy indeed had turned pink, and she nodded, looking down at the ground quickly. "Oh la la, she can't be falling for a beach boy," the professor moaned. "Kenzie would be a far better choice," Evan agreed quietly, "but Damien is a good-looking guy." "Surely Amy isn't falling for looks. She's got so much to offer." "You sound like a dad." "He'll break her heart." "You do sound like a dad." "I feel like a dad." With compassion, Evan reached over and affectionately patted the professor's back. "A dad with 21 children, he teased, keeping his voice low. "And you're not emotionally attached?" Reluctantly, the professor had to admit that he was. "But my goal is still to remain as objective as possible," he whispered. Evan just nodded and jotted a few words in his journal. "The professor admits he has lost objectivity." When Amy gave out the desserts, the dads, standing outside the dome, were still watching carefully. All the boys looked up at her with gratitude. Flustered, Amy dropped Damien's bowl of strawberries on the ground before she reached him. "Don't worry," Damien reassured her as Amy glanced up in dismay. "I'll clean it up." They both went to pick up the strawberries at the same time, hit heads, and ended up sitting on the ground looking at each other. The other boys laughed out loud. Standing up, Damien reached out to help Amy to her feet. "Look after the other guys," he told her kindly. "I'll clean up the mess." Lima offered to share his strawberries with Damien, and all the others agreed to do the same. "I can wash these off," Damien said, loading the strawberries back into the bowl. "Mind if I use some of your water?" he asked Amy. "Of course," she offered, bringing it over to him. "He's rather charming," Evan observed. "He'd better be reformed," the professor remarked grudgingly. In his thoughts, he assured himself that early crushes often fade away. Once the dinner merriment was over, Amy made her way back to the store, pulling her little cart and singing softly. The professor sighed deeply. "You okay?" Evan asked. Yes, just not ready for them to start growing up. They've only lived just over a year." For a moment, they watched in silence, pondering how quickly 13 months had flown by. Then the professor whispered, "Well, this road project has been quite successful in developing a good work ethic and building relationships. Now that all the houses are done and food production is going well, I think we need to introduce another project to keep everyone busy." "I thought you wanted to let them discover materials and develop their own creativity." "Well, that was my original plan, but time is short. They don't have 100 years to figure things out on their own. Plus, in such an ideal world, without any major adversity, wars, suffering, sickness, bad weather, you name it, there is no necessity driving human creativity." Evan looked up in surprise. He thought it was interesting. The professor had admitted that adversity sometimes led to good inventions. He jotted it down. Necessity is often the mother of invention, he agreed quietly. So what do you have in mind, sir?
I'm going to suggest that Louis has a build-a-boat contest, the professor announced, keeping his voice low. There will be categories for the fastest, the most attractive, and the strongest.
What kind of materials will you give them?
I looked it up online the other day, and there were suggestions for tinfoil, wax from specialty cheese, corks, wooden sticks, balloons, and even birch bark.
Wow, but of course, Seven whispered, running one hand through his spiky blonde hair. Those would be great materials.
And there's always building boards and the glue gun down by the store.
Sounds fun.
For one delightful moment, Evan imagined being in Louis's place and leading the challenge. If only he could go back and forth between the two worlds. This is exactly the kind of competition he'd loved as a kid.
Will you offer prizes? He asked.
I'd rather not, the professor mused, stroking his graying goatee. I'd just like everyone to enjoy the challenge for the sake of a challenge. It will be enjoyment enough if they manage to make a boat that floats.
Evan nodded in agreement, writing down the contest details.
Suddenly, the professor leaned in to observe something more carefully.
Hey, he pointed out quietly, what are Odin and Pontsy doing with that large jar?
Looking in the direction of the professor's pointing finger, Evan observed the two lads pushing a wide carry cart holding the clear jar of vinegar that Louis had ordered for his science experiments. They were heading into the North Forest.
Interesting, he smiled. Why don't we walk over there and see what's going on?
Quickly making their way around the dome to the north side where they rarely looked in, the two scientists came to a forested area where Odin and Pontsy had built a small rickety shack. In front of the shack were two dark blue flags with gold writing. Dangling on a string from the roof of the shack was a large black object with eight skinny legs.
Is that a spider hanging there? The professor marveled quietly, straining to see.
They are proud of their victory, Evan remarked. Guess I would be too.
Nodding, the professor acknowledged, yes, I hate to think what would have happened if that black widow had bitten those girls. Odin and Pontsy did save their lives.
Did you ever determine how it got in the train?
The professor shrugged. The box of wheels that I sent in that day had been stored in my garden shed. I assumed the spider was hiding in that box, and sadly I didn't check it carefully. He shook his head regretfully. I won't make that mistake again.
Walking a little further toward the train tunnel, the professor leaned in closer to watch where Odin and Pontsy were taking the jar of vinegar. The two spider heroes dragged the jar deep inside the forest and then clapped hands in the air. Evan noticed they had also captured the box of baking soda. It was sitting on a carry cart.
Sure hope they traded well for those commodities, Evan remarked.
I'm sure Nancy wouldn't let them away with anything less, the professor nodded, rather pleased to see that Odin and Pontsy were intrigued by chemical reactions.
The boys were far enough away from the store microphone that their voices came through only faintly.
Now to try doubling the soda, Odin cheered.
Pontsy picked up a mug and dipped it into the box. He began ladling it into an empty jar beside him.
Scientists in the making, Evan smiled. They may find a new passion.
Other than brooding about all the things they don't like?
Exactly.
For a few minutes, the two watched Odin and Pontsy as they poured a cup of vinegar quickly on top of the soda and then used a lid to contain the mixture for as long as possible in the jar. When it burst out and spread all over them, the boys were delighted for about 1 second, and then the vinegar began to sting. The scientists outside the dome tried hard to muffle their laughter as the amateurs raced at top speed to the lake and dove into the water. Walking back around to the front, in full view of the lake with a lovely orchard surrounding it, Evan and the professor commented on the heavily loaded banana plants.
Plant reproduction has been quite normal, the professor stated, aside from the mango trees.
In fact, it has been even more abundant than in our world. However, it's disappointing that we aren't getting any animal reproduction. Birds lay eggs, but they never hatch. I would have thought there might be baby ducks or rabbits or puppies by now, or even a fawn or two. I think we should get the incubators going again and develop more baby animals.
Just animal babies? No more humans?
The kids aren't ready to become parents yet.
Evan agreed with great relief.
Pondering the matter, the professor added, I do believe we should wait to gauge the public reaction to this project. Perhaps if all goes well, some may be eager to donate reproductive cells specifically for paradise. There may be those who would prefer to see their children grow up in such a wonderful, safe environment.
Evan considered the idea.
If we can develop a way for parents to interact with their children, he said thoughtfully, then paradise might be a popular option. It might even become in high demand. So much more could be developed if we gain public support, the professor agreed. For now, just animals and birds are required, and definitely more fish. I might try a few more plants, maybe some different varieties of roses and shrubs. The orchard girls need plants for their new gardens. And ferns. Ferns for the waterfall, Evan reminded him, fully aware of the enormous task that now lay ahead of him. With a smile, he thought, the semester is nearly over and Christmas holidays will be here soon. I was wondering what I'd do with all my time.